Well, I have a word for us. That might be it. I felt the Lord say, whatever happened in 2017, I really appreciate what everybody said because it really gave me a great lead into what I want to talk to you guys today about. Everything that happened in 2017 was there was a lot of stuff that was a lot of good stuff, but there was a lot of challenging stuff as well. The Lord said, shake it off. Shake it off. And he wanted me to remind you of something. You know, the name of this church is Restoration Christian Fellowship, right? Restoration, you know, to restore in the natural means to bring back to its original state. But in Scripture, it's not that at all. In Scripture, God, when God restores something, it's always a multiplication. It's always an increase. If you need some Scripture about it, in Exodus 22, it says that if an ox gets stolen or a sheep gets stolen, they have to be repaid five times. Job, you remember what happened with Job. All that stuff got taken away from him, but God replaced everything that Job was taken from Job. I'm still not over this. I'm sorry. Everything was taken from Job. He restored twice. Excuse me, and it says in his later years it was even more blessing. Yeah. For us, who are really under a new covenant, the gospel covenant, the example is in Mark. Jesus said, whoever gives lands, houses, monies, brothers, sisters, whatever, would be restored how many times? 100-fold. I like that kind of multiplication. I like that kind of restoration. So whatever that you've suffered in this last year, God has promised to make a restoration. And it's not going to be a tit for tat. I mean, God doesn't work only in material blessings. I mean, you know that. There's a revelation that God wants to bring about himself. And I'm going to get into it a little bit and show you what I feel he was saying. So if you've sacrificed anything this year, and I'm not talking about, oh, I'm doing this for God kind of thing. If things happened to you that were hard, but you've trusted God in it, and apparently you have because you're still here. If you've trusted God in it, God is going to make a restoration for it. But let's face it, when you're going through stuff, a lot of times, I don't care how great your faith is. I mean, I've done it this myself. God has done so many things over these years that I, especially not since I've been saved, but even been in ministry. But sometimes things pile up on you and you go, what's going on, God? I mean, where are you in this, right? Does anybody feel that way? You wonder, where is God? You know, I'm doing it what I know to do. I go to church, I worship, I pay my tithes, I, you know, do all the stuff that I'm supposed to do. And so I want to tell you something. When I was putting this message together and that came into my mind, I got a vision. And the vision was that whole portion of Scripture in Ezekiel where he prophesied over the dry bones. Remember that? And you remember what happened, right? He prophesies over the dry bones. And they became a powerful spiritual force. I'm not trying to be presumptuous here in saying that what I'm going to share with you today is on the level of that, but I'm just saying that that's what God had put in my mind. I feel that what I'm going to say to you today is as Ezekiel speaking over the dry bones. Now, I know that many of you are on fire for God, and please don't take it as any offense. I don't mean that you're not, that you're dry and, you know, whatever. But there are just the areas in our lives, really, that need to be matured. Isn't that right? I mean, all of us. And that's why the power of the prophetic word, when it's used in a correct way, can bring that kind of life. And so I didn't make this up. I feel that God has given this to me for you. And this is a projection for this year. And many of you have said stuff that really leads up to this already. So bless God. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But before I get into the meat of the message, I want to ask you to do something, if you will. like a prophetic action. You'll do that, right? I know you guys, right? Could you stand up? Stand up. I want you to literally shake it off. I want you to just shake it off. Just shake it off. All the junk, everything that's been said, every word, every experience that you've not understood, anything that's dragged you down, made you discouraged, anything negative, I want you to shake it off. Because God is about to make a restoration this year. And His restoration is a multiplication. God is a good God. Now, I know you know, you're mature enough to know this is not about money. I'm not talking about that. I'm not even talking about job. You can sit. About job promotions and stuff. I'm talking about revelation of Him. That you will see the movement of His Spirit in your life. Why? Because God is a real God, isn't He? God uses real situations to show Himself to us. But not only that, God uses real situations, real circumstances that we have, and sometimes they're not really that happy, to show ourselves ourselves. So many times we're going around and we think that, we got this Christian thing down pretty good. It's easy, right? Come to church, you sing the songs, you listen to the guy speak. You do a nice thing here and there, and then you go home and you yell at your husband. No, but you know what I mean. Or your wife, right, or your wife. But we know, us guys don't yell at our wives. No, they beat us up. No, but you know what I mean. And you know what, as you do that, it's so easy to develop misconceptions about God, about who God is, about what God does, about what our role in the kingdom of heaven is, and next thing you know, we can if we do that, and we have we've developed misconceptions that actually lead us down the wrong path towards the function that we have in the kingdom, we could end up as Israel did. And Israel, for many generations, did things that God called works of their own hands. And you know how that turned out, right? Yeah, it wasn't so good. It actually turned into external performance, idolatry, moral decay, and corruption in leadership in Israel. Unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of that same thing in the church today. And in the world today, not just in the church, but in the world today. Because the world, well, obviously they don't know Jesus Christ if they're in the world, but even in the church, there's been so many misconceptions about who Jesus is, what He can do, what we're called to do, that we've ended up, many of us, down the wrong road. Now, I'm not just talking about a certain segment of Christianity. I'm talking about all of us fall into these traps here and there over various different things. It's still present, that spirit, because it's the spirit of the world, it's still present in us and in the world today. It has influence in us and over us, and God has vowed to shake out all of those things that are not of Him. That's why I had us do that, because see, when we do it ourselves, it's easier to right fall on the rock rather than have it crush us. You know, that's the idea. We go to God first, we shake it off. Then, whatever happens, the circumstances of our lives, even if we're suffering setbacks, the severity of those instances, those circumstances, they're not perceived as severe, is what I'm trying to say. We can embrace them because we see that God's hand is in it. Now, it's only the things that can be shaken that will be shaken, right? Everything about God's kingdom is not going to be shaken. The things that are shaken so that God's kingdom can be established, and the things that are eternal will be established here on earth, and they will remain, the scripture says, right? I want you to do one thing with me again. I want you to stand up again. I want to read you something. I want you to shake it again. Shake it one more time. Shake it again. Again, shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And make straight paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. I want you to say this with me. We have it up there, all right? John, you got that? Put that up there, please. I want you to say this with me. Okay, ready? Let's go. Lord, please lead me by your Spirit. Make straight paths for my feet so that I may be healed. Good. All right, sit. Because when we move in our own understanding, when we move in misconceptions, we're actually walking a spiritual path lame. And when we walk lame, we become dislocated. Dislocated from God and from each other. And that's the state of many in the church. If we're dislocated from God and dislocated from one another, we are misfiring. So our Christianity does not hold, or doesn't have the ability to hold the power that it's supposed to have. Now, I'm not just talking about miracles and that kind of stuff. You know, those things will follow, right? It says the signs and wonders follow those who believe. I'm talking about believing. If we're disconnected, we will end up not believing. Our faith will wane. And from there, it's a hop, skip, and a jump. Just a hop, skip, and a jump. I would do it if I felt better. From what Jesus called cold love. The love of many, right, will grow cold. Which, if you think about it, is how can cold and love be in the same? I mean, it's oxymoronic. There is no such, but cold love is something that's other than God. Because God is love, and the true definition of love is hot. Yes. It's passionate. I'm not just talking about, you know, sexual love. I'm talking about the love of God. It's powerful. It's living. Jesus. Powerful. But it says, Jesus said it, we would end up, that the love of many would grow cold, would end up in cold love. God wants, folks, God wants our love to be genuine and pure so that it can be powerful in Him. Why? Because He is genuine. He is pure and He's powerful. He wants us to be healed and He wants us to be whole. Because that's what's required to actually move in genuine love. Right? We just read that. If we're not, then we're dislocated, right? So we're not. We're lame. And that was God's design. Didn't he pray that? God, that Father, as you and I are one, I pray that they would be one. They would be one with one another. They would be one with me. They would be one with you. We would all be one. That's why I appreciate what Rudy said before. That was you, right? You said that? One with each other. Now, that was previously impossible, wasn't it? But it was made possible because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. He made it possible. John 13:35, he said, by this men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Right? Two words there, love, which we just talked about, and the other word is disciples. You know, disciples, the word disciples comes from the word discipline. That's always a fun word, isn't it? We just love discipline because we just don't understand about discipline, especially as Americans, you know, don't tread on me kind of mindset. But the word discipline really, it says, the definition of it is this: it produces a specific character or pattern of behavior. In Hebrews 12:5-6 and 11, it says this: my son, do not despise the discipline of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, for those the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son in whom he receives. Scourges means punishes, and punishment is not the kind of punishment where you go sit in the corner. Punishment, the definition of it, according to Alexa, it's to inflict a penalty on. So in other words, the Lord puts a penalty on someone in order to bring about a particular behavior. The word chasten was used instead of discipline in some of the translations. It says that the Lord chastens. Do not be discouraged if the Lord chastens you. Chasten means to restrain or to moderate, to refine, to purify. So he chastens us or disciplines us to train us in order to refine us and to purify us. He refines and purifies us with a specific instruction. Unfortunately, because we're in the flesh, our flesh receives that instruction as punishment. And so we back away from that. We think, oh, God doesn't love me. Or the things that are happening to me, God is not in. Or God is hurt, you know, God wants to hurt me. Or where is God? Because we're perceiving the circumstances of our lives, the negative things that we see as negative, not as instruction to help purify us, but as a punishment. And I think God wants to change that. It's one of the revelations that God wants to give us as a reward, as an understanding, so that when we face these, because Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Well, Jesus, you know, that's a little oxymoronic too. Why should I be of good cheer if I'm going to have a tribulation? Well, the reason is that we're going to be instructed by it. We're going to be instructed in the character of God to become more like Christ. So that we won't be lame. We won't be dislocated. And so when we're finished, let me read you the outcome. Of course, I took it out of there, right? Roy. No, I can't find it. Anyway. In Hebrews 12, as you can see that I've been in Hebrews 12, this is the whole thing from 18 to 28 is really where this is, if you want to look it up yourself. I read you the first part, the first two verses there, to strengthen your hands and so that you won't be dislocated and all that. And the warning is, you know, don't be like these guys who didn't do it because they missed the boat. You know, and then in verse 25, it says, you're not like those Israelites who couldn't even touch the holy mountain for being destroyed. And you remember that when God was coming in the first Pentecost, they didn't want to touch the mountain because even if an animal touched it, they would die. He said, but you're not like that. You can come to this scary place, and it was scary because even Moses didn't want to go there. He said, well, you know, I'm really afraid of this kind of thing. The scripture says that, but you've come to the city of the living God, to an assembly of the saints who have made their mark. They're registered in heaven. Saints that are registered in heaven. And the spirits of just men made perfect. You come to God, the judge, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Verse 26 says this. Yet once more I will shake the earth and the heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably and reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So don't turn away when these things start to happen. the scripture is saying. Don't turn away from him. You're not like the Israelites who didn't have this protection. You can come because of Jesus to the mountain. You've come to this holy place, and Jesus made the way for you to do it. And as you do it, he's not going to blunt the fact that you're going to have to go through this, right? In this world, you'll have tribulation. But you will be trained, and you will discern the training. You will understand the spiritual nature of what's going on and the effects that those things will have on your life and know how to navigate through them. You remember last week I said that discernment and wisdom are really the same thing? Discernment and wisdom can show you how to pray for something. So something comes up in your life, you know how to pray. You know what to say or what not to say. You know, we look back over this past year, and I know that many of us in our personal life have gone through stuff. Cindy with all the operations and various other things that you know, so I don't really have to say it again. But you know what? Many things are going on in the earth itself. I mean, think about the devastating hurricanes. I was just reading in the paper today that half of Puerto Rico, this is 3 months ago, still doesn't have power. There's been mudslides in Philippines, are underwater, fires in California, and who knows what else is going on that's not even reported. And then there's always the secondary danger of disease that comes from, you know, the sanitary conditions not being taken care of and all of this. It's almost as if the earth itself is recoiling against the weight of the sin of what's going on in the earth. See, last week I said that the wise men were wise because they discerned the sign of the star in the sky, right? God gave them that twinkling star of revelation, and they were wise enough to follow it. Well, there's signs in the earth, and Jesus talked about those things. Now, I'm not doomsdaying it. I'm not saying next week, but we need to begin to prepare to understand when God shows us a sign, it's for a reason. To discern the sign, and then, okay, Lord, the wisdom, all right, what does this mean? And not to get freaked out. I mean, we don't want to become a cult. I mean, that's not what the deal is. We want to be able to hear God. We want to have a confidence in what he's doing and to know that he's going to show us what to do, because we're willing to endure whatever is happening and still trust him in it, even when we don't understand what's going. You know, Isaiah had this, I want to read this, because I just came upon it as I was reading, talking about the earth being just weighted down and recoiling with sin, from the weight of sin. This is what Isaiah 24 said. The earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaking exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise. I just thought, wow, that is so, seems like that's what's happening in the earth. Just so many natural occurrences that are, you know, just out of the ordinary. Now, wisdom will keep us aware of these things that are happening. And as I was thinking about all of these things and I saw that scripture, I kept on hearing the other scripture ringing in my ear. You know, we just read it. It says, yet once more will I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Now, Jesus talked about the shaking, right? In the gospel accounts in Luke and Mark and Matthew. And he called them birth pangs. He likened them to birth pangs. Last week we talked about Mary carrying Jesus, and she must have went through the labor, or she did go through the labor, the birth pangs. And, you know, today the church is pregnant also with the presence of the Lord. And that presence will be birthed into the world. It will be at whatever point that God decides that will happen. If you think about it, in natural childbirth, birth pangs start mildly. They become more frequent. They increase both in frequency and intensity, and the magnitude of them, until the child is born. It's almost like an announcement of this, the forthcoming birth of the child, right? Well, what we're seeing in the earth today, I believe, even though it's devastating in a lot of ways, is an announcement of the coming, once again, of the Lord. Again, I'm not saying next week, and I'm not saying that we should resolve ourselves to the fate of disaster. Don't hear that. I'm not saying that we should, oh, this is God, so we just got to take it. No, we're here for a reason. We're here to pray. We're here to pray so that the severity of these circumstances are lessened, and that men will come, men and women will come to God on their own will, by their own will. That's our job. We need to pray that. See, to have this I'm out of here mindset, you know, the rapture enthusiasts, I don't think that would be really fulfilling the purpose of what the church is supposed to do here on the earth. That's my opinion. We're here in this point of history for a reason, and that's to pray and intercede for the world. You know, in First Chronicles, it talks about the sons of Issachar. Remember that? The sons of Issachar is part of David's army. And it said about them that they knew the times. They could sense, they understood the signs of the times, how to pray, and what Israel should do. In a sense, we really need that. We need a touch of the sons of Issachar. I believe that that's what God really wants for us. Now, there's good news in this now. There's good news in this. The first thing is that God will use all the circumstances to draw people to himself. So if they don't come, God will use circumstances to draw people. Not because he's mean, but because he wants us to be one. So we'll pray for the severity of those calamities to be less. And people will come on their own will. And the second thing about good news is that God is not only shaking the earth, it says that he's shaking the heavens. Now, think about it. Is God going to shake the place where he is? No, it's holy. That's where he is. Everything is good. The heavenlies, right? There's the heavens that we see with all the planets and that. Then there's the heavenlies, which are in control of the spiritual darkness, spiritual forces of darkness. And then there's the heaven where God is. But so I think it's the heavenlies. I think it's these where the spirits of darkness have rule and reign. God is promised to shake that place. I like that. I think that that's good news. Why does he want to shake? Why will he? Because he's going to shake them from their position of influence, from the grip that they have over the earth. That's going to loosen. And he's going to do it in a very unique way. Ephesians is very interesting. Ephesians 3 says this, that God would make all to see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the ages and has been born and hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenlies. So I didn't just make this up. It's what it says. It's what Paul says. Now the fellowship of the mystery, I never really knew this before, and I happened to look this up because it just struck me. Fellowship of the mysteries. What is the fellowship of the mystery? What is it? The fellowship of the mysteries literally means the dispensers, or those who would dispense the crux of whatever the mysteries are. So there are things in God that are hidden that we don't see yet, that are going to be revealed, that are going to be given to the church, the ecclesia. Now, the ecclesia doesn't mean just everybody who calls themselves Christians. The ecclesia means called ones. And Wade Taylor, you know, our spiritual father, used to say that many are called and few are chosen, but many are called and few choose to be chosen. How do you choose to be chosen? Well, it's more than just saying yes, though, isn't it? It's saying yes to God in the midst of the circumstances that would seem to be negative. It's saying, God, I trust you, even though I don't understand why I have cancer. That's not an easy thing to do. But I want to tell you something from a standpoint, and most of you know I had that cancer removed from my back. God was present in the whole, I was totally peaceful in it. It's just uncanny. And it gave me an opportunity to speak to the doctors. Matter of fact, I was kidding around in such a way, they said, you're going to have a big scar there. I said, don't worry about it, I'll tell people I got shot. I was kidding, right, of course, you know. I was goofing around. The room became silent, you know. It was like they were all serious about this. But God was so present. I can say to you that in the midst of that terrible thing, you hear the C word, everybody freaks. I mean, I freaked before, you know. God was present. And he wasn't just present patting me on the back saying, I'm going to heal you. He didn't tell me he was going to heal me. He just said, I'm going to be with you. And he was. That's the way he's going to prove himself. Not that he's got to prove himself to him, but he's going to show where he shows us where we're at in relationship to him through the circumstances. So I got to see, wow, I did make some spiritual progress. I actually felt you there, Lord. I'm not just talking. You know. And I'm telling you, let me tell you something. I worry sometimes. I'm thinking, well, I'm up there saying all this stuff. I better believe this. You know, so it's important. You know, it's important. So the ecclesia are the disciples of Christ, those who have went through the discipline, the training, the refining, those who are not lame, those who are not dislocated from him. They're one with him. They're dispensers of the things, the spiritual matters that will displace the powers and forces of darkness by the church, right? This is what we just read in Ephesians 3. And those things, when we displace the things of darkness, what do you think they get displaced with? Light. And with the light comes the joy of the presence of God. Joy unspeakable. We sang it today, right? Da, 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 da. Everything is possible. See, these are not just songs, gang. The light of Christ snuffs out the darkness. You know, I love that part of this in Ephesians where it talks about the shield of faith. It doesn't say it deflects. It quenches every fiery dart. Quenches means puts out. You love it. Now, but first, will we say yes to discipleship? And no one can do that for you. Because you attend this church doesn't mean you're saying yes. It just means, yes, I'm going to come to church. But it's an individual thing. It's an individual walk. Will you say yes to the training that God puts before you in your life? I will tell you, if you do say yes and it costs you something, God will restore 100-fold. He will. His presence will be thick with you as you walk in your daily routine. You don't have to come to church, although I hope you still do, but you won't have to come to church to just feel God's presence. You'll be in contact. You'll be one with him. You'll be interactive with God in the midst of the circumstances. This is the church. That's what the church is supposed to be. And that's the refinement that God is doing in us through the circumstances. And he does it systematically. We're systematically being refined. The Lord is magnified in us by this. Remember what magnification is, right? Being magnified. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. Magnified is much more than just increasing. It's an expansion. The Lord is expanding in us. And he can't do it all at once. It has to be systematic. You think about a balloon, right? A balloon expands, right? If you just had a powerful enough air force that you were putting into that balloon and you just did it all at once, the thing would blow up. Well, it's the same thing with us. See, that's why you can't put new wine in an old wineskin. Old wineskin is hard. Doesn't mean the old wine is bad. Old wine is good. Right? Don't go drinking now, because all Pastor Roy said we can go drink old wine. You got to stick with the Thunderbird. No, I'm kidding. It's progressive. And it's like birth pangs. It's like the dawn. Remember we said last week, the coming of the Lord is like the dawn. You don't see it right away. It just sort of... Well, it's the same thing of the coming of the Christ. And he's coming in us. See, every time one of us says yes, the Christ comes a little bit more. And as we do it collectively, and enough of us do it, eventually what will happen is we'll see him in the sky. He comes to the church first. Through the church. He's progressively coming again. And we're progressively becoming Christ-like. See, the working out of these spiritual principles into our reality happens progressively, and it happens on many levels. I know what I wanted to talk to you. You know that word manifold, that the manifold wisdom in that scripture, that Ephesians 3, that the manifold wisdom of God, you know the manifold wisdom of God really speaks about? Many levels of wisdom, and it has to do with color. It has to do with color, shades, tints, color, variegated, it said. It's an understanding that's very deep. Do you remember that the time that I had shared with you guys, we went some years ago, we went up to Toronto, and I went into that seminar about how to hear God, and this guy who wrote the book, what was his name, Pastor Murray? Mark Verkler. It was the first time I soaked. It was when we started that whole thing with soaking and all that. And he said, okay, I want you to ask God something in your quiet time. Either, God, do you love me? Or God, how do you see me? Do you remember this? And, I felt that God loved me. I thank God. I've always felt the love of God. I have to say that. Even when I didn't know him, I knew he was around me. So I asked the other question. I said, Lord, how do you see me? And next thing you know, I'm up in the heavens. But the most incredible thing about that experience was the colors and how vivid the colors were. The colors were, they were so vivid, it was almost like they had a texture that you could feel. And that's the variegated, that's what Paul is referring to when he's talking about the manifold wisdom of God that's going to be shown to the world. Now, in order to if the church is going to show that to the world, the church actually has to experience it first, wouldn't you think? That is one of the blessings for those who will go through this, will say yes and allow themselves to go through the discipleship that God has for us. One of the, just one. And I know that these words that I told you couldn't even tell you the depth of the experience of seeing that those colors like that. It was astounding. It was life-changing, really. God's restoration is always increased. It's always 100, for us as Christians, it's 100 times what you've sacrificed. So look for it this year. Look for it. I so agree with everything that you said, Rudy, and other people gave testimony before. It was amazing. I shouldn't be amazed, right? I mean, there's one Holy Spirit, and he's not schizophrenic, so he's going to say the same thing to all of us, if we're listening. So, listen, RCF. 2018, the stuff starts to pile up on you. Don't let it pile up on you. Shake it off immediately. See, because on one hand, the earth and its inhabitants are going to be shaken, literally, through occurrences. Individually, as our souls are being conformed to Christ. That's going to happen. It's just part of it. It's part of the training. Understand that. The good part is, remember this, that God has also shaken the heavenlies. And he's loosening the power, the grip that these things have on us. And they do. Because until our souls are totally transformed, there'll always be this struggle. And it's always a battle for your mind. Yeah, me too. We all hate it. But we can battle it if we're aware of it, because we have the Holy Spirit of truth who will show us. But it takes paying attention. It takes going to God and saying, Lord, lead me this day. You don't have to make, you know, you don't have to make a novena. I mean, just, you don't have to be a monk. All you got to do is, Lord, lead me today. And then pay attention. And what will happen is the darkness will start becoming replaced by the light, and it'll begin in you. Isn't that good? I don't know about you. I need the darkness in me transformed. I'm tired of it. And he'll do it through you if you let him, if you allow him. I like that word. But you got to shake off the junk, and you got to do it like daily. Maybe more if you need to. Soon as it comes on you, I mean, I don't think you have to literally stand there and shake it, but you need to throw it off. Say no. Can I give you a quick testimony? I've been sick this last week, right? The last 2 days, I didn't know I was going to make it here today. My head was like pounding. My nose would not stop running, as gross as that sounds. And I couldn't stop coughing. I mean, it was like ridiculous. I said, Lord, what's going to happen? Last night, I thought it was going to go away. We prayed. It didn't go away. I go to sleep. I can't. Now, I didn't sleep the night before. Now I'm not sleeping again. I'm going, oh, my God. I get up in the middle of the night, and the Lord says, you need to rebuke this, Roy. He doesn't call me pastor, you know that? I mean, that's, anyway, that's another story. I got to talk to him about that. But, so, I looked in the mirror and I said, you know, you're a son of God. You're the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This thing can't be in you. Get out. I seriously looked myself in the eye and said that. I felt one nostril. This is weird, right? I felt one nostril totally drain. I was like, whoa, it worked. Got to work on the other one, yeah. So, but it gave me enough, it gave me the ability to get a couple of hours of sleep, or else I'd be like laying down here today talking to you this way. And then this morning we finished it off. Pastor Marie came in with her, her mama anointing and poured the oil on my head. We finished it off, and I was able to at least get through this, even though I sound like a little bit like a frog. I wasn't even sure I was going to be able to sing any songs today, so thank you, Lord. Because the most important thing that we can do is worship God in the midst of all of it, right? If we can just do that, and it's a matter of heart. It doesn't matter if you're croaking and you sing everything off key. God has this ability to hear everything in key. He hears it like a symphony. So thank God for that, right? Right, Pat? All right, amen. I'm almost done. Just do that daily. Because God has an unshakable kingdom that he wants to establish here. He wants it to be on earth as it is in heaven. And he wants us to be part of it. He wants you to be part of it. He's called you to be part of it. But it's got to be unshakable in us first. Now, I'm not talking about perfect. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about getting every part of the kingdom of heaven perfect. I'm talking about whatever he is showing you, say, as Mary did, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. If we can say that, that's perfect in God's eyes. And he will systematically work it out in us. And then we become part of the kingdom. And we don't have to do it all at once. And you can't do it all at once anyway. Just be consistent in it. And that's the walk. That's the journey. It's always progressive. See, Lori, where are you? I used another word. I didn't use process. I used progressive. It's like the, okay, anyway. Let me just finish with this. This is Hebrews 12, same scripture, but in the Message, 28 to 29. Do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. Amen. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God. For God is not an indifferent bystander. He's actively cleaning house, torching all that needs to burn. And he won't quit until it's all cleansed. God himself is fire. And what will remain will be a pure vessel, one that looks like Jesus. Amen? Why don't you stand and let me pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord. Even though the fire seems like it would burn us, God, the things that need to remain will remain, and they will be pure. They will be holy. They will be worthy of being able to be one with you. Lord, I just pray for all of us, and I thank you for your word, Lord, for this year. That first of all, that you gave grace and mercy this year for us to endure those things that were unpleasant and really taxed us. And the things that are carrying over, God, we just release them to you, Lord. We believe that you are shaking the heavenlies. Shake them, Lord. Shake their grip on us, God. The influence that they have on us. The whispers that we hear. And Lord, we exalt you. We put on that helmet of salvation, God. And we just resist every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that does not agree with Jesus Christ. We cast those things down. We say the only thing, the only one that will sit on the throne of our hearts are you, Lord. And so we thank you, God, and we believe you, Lord, for your restoration. You've named us, God, and next week we're going to be talking about our 22nd year and what it means. We just bless you, God, and thank you for these 22 years. Just help us, God. We do ask that you would send others that might want to hear and need to hear this message, who are willing to become disciples, Lord. And we will gladly open our door to whoever you send, God. And so we thank you, Lord. I bless your people this year, Lord. Let them go forth from this place with joy. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. All right. Okay.